power to do. Lord, you will grant unto every one of us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we pray that the grace to stand in these last days, even if it means standing alone, Lord, you will grant unto every one of us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
For in Jesus' exalted name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We're going to be looking at the message, the power of an uncompromising stand. Praise the Lord. This message is very, very important, because whether you like it or not, as a child of God, you will find yourself standing alone. The power of an uncompromising stand. I can also title it, the power to say no and stick to it. You say no today, you say no tomorrow, you say no next week, you say no next month. You stand your ground. I can also title it, the power to stand alone. Brethren, it is not easy to be in the minority. Praise the Lord. Young people, listen to me. Youths, teenagers that are here. One of the most difficult things that you all face, adults face it too, but especially in your middle school, in your high school, it's very difficult to stand alone. Every other person is doing it. We hear and we know what is going on in your schools. Amen? We know what those young girls, 12, 11, even 10, we know what they are already doing. Praise the Lord. And it will be increasingly difficult, because a young boy, a young girl will come to you and begin to ask you some things. Praise the Lord. Have you done this? Have you done that? Have you tried this? Have you tried that? And when you say, oh, my daddy, my mommy says that, no, they laugh at you. I say they what? They laugh at you and make you feel odd. They make you feel strange. They make you feel like an odd ball. Where is this one coming from? The power to stand alone. You say, Pastor, you told me that one with God is the majority. But when those peers and the friends are before me, I feel all alone. I look to my left, I don't see God. I look at my right, I don't see God. The power to do what? Stand what? Alone. It's just you. In the physical, it's just you. In that office, it's just you. In that school, it's just you. You stand alone. It's not easy. That's why the message is the power. We need what? Power to stand alone. The Lord will give you that power in Jesus' name. In the book of Daniel, we see the story of three Hebrew children, young men, in a foreign land called Babylon. Their parents had taught them the ways of God, the ways of Jehovah, the ways of the God of Israel. But they came to this strange land with strange gods. Amen? And the pressure, the heat was on. Will they continue in the ways that they have been taught? Or will they compromise? Will they say, you know what? When you are at Rome, do as the Romans. These three young men, they decided to stand. Brethren, it's a decision. You have to make up your mind that I will stand come what may. And that will be your resolve in Jesus' name. Yes, you are saying it with your mouth, but you must have that resolve. You must have that desire. And then God comes and backs up that desire with his what? His power. Amen? You will stand in Jesus' name. The power of an uncompromising stand. In Daniel chapter 3 verse 10, look at the story of Daniel, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel chapter 3 verse 10, thou, O king, has made a decree, a law, that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the what? Golden image. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Brethren, that is the story. These three boys will not bow down before the golden image that was set up in that land. They said no. And the consequence, the repercussion for saying no to the king's decree was death. Not just any kind of death, but death by fire. They throw you into fire, you burn to death. Amen? But these three Hebrew children, they said what? No. And then they brought them before the king. You know, it's more easy to say no in absentia. When the king is not before you, when you are not looking at the face of that angry king, it's more easier to say no. But now they brought them before the king. And the king says, look at it in verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true? I want you to say no again. O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true? Do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, I'm giving you a second chance. Praise the Lord. I am giving you a second chance because maybe you didn't hear correctly. When the sound of the music went off, maybe something was wrong with your ears. They're threatening you. They say you must do this thing. He says in verse 15, now if you be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, good. That would be very good. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Look at the threatening. Praise the Lord. He wanted to make sure these three men, they knew what they were up against. And he threatened them. Praise the Lord. But there was something unique about these three young men. They had the power of an uncompromising stand. God will give you that power in Jesus' name. I say, God will give you that power in Jesus' name. They had it. And look at the answer. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, we respect you, O Nebuchadnezzar. We are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast what? Which thou hast set up. The power of an uncompromising stand.
2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12. Brethren, there's something that I need to emphasize in this message before I go. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12. Please, everybody, open your Bibles. Yes. And how many people? All. I'm waiting for you. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12. Yes. Yea. And how many people? All that we live what? Godly in Christ Jesus shall do what? It's part of the package. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's part of the what? Young people is part of the package. Older people is part of the package. If you will live godly, you will suffer what? The Bible is 100% correct. The message today, the message before us, is aimed at reminding all heaven-bound saints that opposition, persecution, and trials of faith are common experiences of all true followers of Christ. The response of the believer during such moments is not to fret, falter, or compromise, but rather to stand on conviction and win over the enemies of righteousness, as did other saints we have read in the Bible. You will stand in Jesus' name. The believer is clearly told in Proverbs chapter 1 verse 10, my son, my daughter, if sinners entice thee, do what? Say no. Satan, through the world, the institutions, the rulers, the superiors, our bosses, unbelieving neighbors and relatives, even our own flesh, will mount intense pressure on us to compromise. Brethren, I don't know if it has slowed down, but the direction in which the United States is going, brace up yourself for persecution. It is coming. Praise the Lord. I say it is what? It's here already. Either you quit your job, or as a county clerk, you have to issue homosexual marriage licenses. Stand your ground that you will not, you go to jail. Because it's the decree of the land. In Houston, Texas, some months ago, before the gay mayor left, she tried her best to pass a law that would require all pastors to submit their sermons for scrutiny. And if they find anything in those sermons that are anti-gay, anti-whatever they call it, hate speech, that's what they call our preaching, those churches will lose their tax-exempt status, they will be fined. And the pastors rose up and said, you know what, this can't happen. The last straw that broke the camel back, he didn't anyway. He tried to pass this useless bill of anybody can use any restroom they want. But the people rose up and said, not in Houston. But go to California, it's bad. Go to other parts of the country, it's bad. And it is slowly encroaching. And before you know, you who you are standing for righteousness, all of a sudden you are a bad person. And the people that are standing for unrighteousness, they are the what? They are the good people. And so, brethren, brace up for what? For persecution. Because the time is coming and it is here when you cannot open your mouth and say, this is wrong. Who are you? That is hate what? Hate speech. Persecution is coming. Brace up yourself for it. In Babylon, that was the law of the land. Take it or what? Leave it. This is the decree. follow it or pay the price with your own what? With your own blood. But the Lord God Almighty will succor us. He will help us. In Hebrews 2:18. Hebrews 2:18. The Lord promises us help. In the time of trial, in the time of temptation, in the time when the heat, the pressure is on you. He says in Hebrews 2:18. Hebrews 2:18. He says, for in that himself, Jesus, had suffered being tempted, he is also able to help to succor them that are tempted. The Lord will help us all in Jesus' name. We're going to divide this message into three. Point number one, the purpose of trials and temptations of saints. Why? Why does God allow it? The purpose of trials and temptations of saints. Point number two, perseverance, endurance during trials and temptations by saints. Perseverance, endurance during trials and temptations by saints. Point number three, promotion. The Lord will promote you in Jesus' name. Promotion and triumph of uncompromising saints. You will triumph in Jesus' name. Point number one, the purpose of trials and temptations of saints. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 5. The purpose. It says that at what time ye hear, let's look back up to verse 4. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Verse 7, therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music. How many people? All the people, the nations, and the languages. What did they do? They fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Brethren, everybody fell down. The majority of the people, they bowed down. And they said, we don't want to lose our life. Praise the Lord. Number two, they don't want to lose their jobs, their position. Do you know, look at chapter 2, verse 49, that not only were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in danger of losing their life, they were also in danger of losing their jobs. Look at verse 49. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of what? Babylon. They were governors. They were in high position in the government. They had a lot to lose, brethren, in the physical, their jobs. They would have said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, let's be wise. We don't want to lose our what? We don't want to lose our jobs. We don't want to lose our position. Let's be wise. Let's just bow down. Praise the Lord. And after we bow down quickly, we will tell God, Jehovah, have mercy on us. Amen? They didn't care about losing their jobs. There's something greater than my job that I don't want to lose. They didn't care about losing their life. There's something greater that I will lose compared to my physical life. They didn't want to lose their soul. Why do people compromise today? Is it not because of their jobs? I don't want to lose my job. Praise the Lord. If I don't tell this lie, I'll be fired. This is a necessary lie for me to keep my position. And they can't take a stand. and say, I will not tell a lie, even if it means me losing my what? My job. Not just their job, their very own life. I will stand even if it means paying the price with my blood. Has my Christianity graduated to that point? You know, theologians tell us that when the persecution will really start in this country, that's when we will know the true believers. Praise the Lord. Many of you have heard the story. I don't know the veracity of it, but the story in one of these European countries, maybe under communism or something. And then the believers were gathered together, worshiping God underground. And then the soldiers came in. Amen. Because whenever they catch you, they round you up and kill all of you. Amen. And then the soldiers came in and said, how many of you are Christians here? Praise the Lord. And a few people came out. The rest of the people denied. They don't want to what? They don't want to die. And what the story says, what the legend says, is that those soldiers were actually part of the church. They wanted to know the real brethren. They wanted to know those people who were fake and those who were what? Real. The people who came out were the people who were saved. The Lord will help us to be true believers in Jesus' name. Now, let me go back to my normal preaching. For those of you who know me, I have to say this. Brethren, I'm talking about death. I'm talking about losing job. Today, the little inconvenience that some Christians experience, they lose it. And you are like, come on. This is just somebody didn't look at you very well. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And that's so big, I'm being persecuted. Amen. I was just walking. I was so happy singing songs, and I said, Pastor Abu, good afternoon, sir. Amen. And he didn't answer me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, and I become angry. Pastor Abu is persecuting. Come on, Christians now. Do you read the Acts of the Apostle and see what these people were passing through? And you're stuck with somebody didn't greet me, somebody didn't reply my text, somebody looked at me this way. That is childishness in Christianity. The things that people are coming to us with and saying that this is persecution, it's not persecution. What I say? It's not, come on. Some of you sitting there, you have really experienced persecution. Some of our brethren were going to be killed. Some of our brethren were almost blinded. Some of our brethren were beat up and threatened by their parents that they were going to be killed because of what? They were born again. That's persecution, brethren. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Let me switch back. Let's continue. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. John chapter 15 verse 18. John chapter 15 verse 18. I'm talking about the power of an uncompromising stand. In John chapter 15 verse 18, it says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it what? If you were of the world will love what? I need to talk. Praise the Lord. Look up, please. I have passion for young people. God will deliver me in Jesus' name. You know, a lot of our young people are leaving the church. They are leaving the church. They go to school. They go among their peers. And they say, what church do you go? They say, Deeper Life. And the friends, they look down on that church. Where is that church? Praise the Lord. And they malign the church. They treat the church as if the church is this. terrible place to be. And those young people begin to internalize it, and they begin to be ashamed of their own church. The church where we teach them the truth, the church where, come on, you've been here since Friday. You've been hearing wonderful words of life, words that will take you to heaven. And you want to tell your friends that you are going to a church, and they say, yeah, we love that church. Praise the Lord. That's what you are looking for. You want a church that is approved by the world. You know, when I was in Houston, amen, when I'm talking with my co-workers, my colleagues, they say, I'm going to that church. Amen. In Houston, we have the largest congregation in the whole United States. It's located in Houston. Many of you know the pastor, the young pastor over there. And many people, they pride themselves in saying they go to that church. I can't be proud of going, saying I'm going to that church. What's he preaching to them? Making them feel happy. Amen? You'll be so happy, and your happiness will just take you to heaven. Without happiness, no man shall see the Lord. Is that what you had? Amen? Is that what you had? How to live your best life. That's what he's telling them. When I say deeper life, they say, what kind of church is that? Is it baptism method? What is that? Amen? It's so strange. Say, that's my church, a Bible-believing church. Come. Praise the Lord. Yes. And you don't expect the church to accept you. I mean the world to accept you, because they did not accept Christ. Now, are you better than Jesus? Are you more holy than Jesus? Are you more righteous than Jesus? Jesus was rejected by the world. They hated him. Jesus was perfect, holy, righteous. He didn't offend anybody. The prince of this world cometh, and he found nothing in me. He was perfect, true, and true. And then people can hate that kind of person. Come on. We are not better than Jesus. You will be hated. If you want people to like you, you will compromise. If you want people to appreciate you, you will do what? You will compromise. You will not compromise in Jesus' name. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. Look at it in verse 19. If you were of the world will love his what? His own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world do what? The world hates you. It's part of the package. The world will not like you. You know, today's believers are the believers that will come and be complaining that people didn't like them. What kind of complaining is that? You expect people of the world to like you, to appreciate you? Snap out of that kind of reasoning. They will not like you. Okay, I like to be liked. Praise the Lord. I like people to like me. It's okay. Praise the Lord. I like to be appreciated and loved. It's natural. It's human. Everybody wants to be loved and appreciated. Amen? But he or she that shall live godly in this world shall do what? Is part of the package. You see, that's why, please let me preach. This is why I come in front of the church, and your pastors do that, and say, I love everybody here. Who else will we love? Who else will love us back, if not fellow believers? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciple, when ye have love one for what? I can't get that love from outside. I can't get that love from the world. It's here that I get it. And I'll now come to the same church and be fighting with the same people that will love me, and I'll live forever in eternity with. Come on, that's a contradiction. Amen? This is where love is. The power of an uncompromising what? An uncompromising stand. In Acts chapter 12, verse 1, these are people that when you suffer, they are happy. When something bad happens to you, they are happy. The world. In Acts chapter 12, verse 1, now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a what? With a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, they were happy that a believer had been killed. It pleased them. He proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of what? Unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended, arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four companions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the what? The people. These are people that when something wrong, bad happens to you, they are more happy. That's the world. Satan, the arch enemy of the believers, is the force behind trials and persecution of the saints. And brethren, please and please, look at Acts chapter 14, verse 22. I need to say this as we move on. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. It says, confirming the souls. That's what Paul was doing and his team. Paul and Barnabas, confirming the souls of the disciples. This is a young convert, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the what? Okay, let us look up. We do this. And whenever we do it, I just smile. Praise the Lord. We pray that God Almighty shouldn't bring persecution. Praise the Lord. We somehow, in fact, we even shield our new converts from persecution. You don't want them to be hurt. You don't want them to pass through anything. New converts, please hear it from your pastor. You will go through what? Persecution is part of the package. You can't avoid it. And me as your pastor, I'm not going to shield you from that persecution, because I know it's coming. Amen? Yes, it's part of the Christian life. Paul and Barnabas told the new Christian that we must through much what? Tribulation. Enter into the kingdom of God. It is part of the package. You will go through tribulation. You will go through trials and difficulty. The Christian life is not a bed of roses. Young people listening to me, you will face tough times where daddy and mommy will not be there to shield you. You may have to stand your ground in front of those peers and say no. And they laugh at you and you say, I said no. It's not fun standing alone. It's not something that is joyful standing alone. You feel bad. You don't feel high. You don't feel like something, but you just have to stand. You will stand in Jesus' name. The aim of Satan is to break the believer's resolve to walk the narrow way that leads to heaven. As the God of this world, he has many willing tools in his hands to frighten the believer into compromise. To Paul, it was the unbelieving Jews. To the early church, it was the rulers and the elders. Praise the Lord. Satan has a lot of willing tools. A lot. It can be your lecturer, your teacher, your peer, your classmate, your neighbor. Satan just inspires them to persecute you. And the aim of the devil is so that you will be broken. So that your resolve will be tarnished. So that you'll be frightened of people. You will not be broken. You will not be frightened in Jesus' name. Temptation and trials, as the common experience of all believers, are not sinful. It is when we yield to the temptation that it becomes sin. But you will not yield in Jesus' name. You will not be broken. You will stand your ground no matter the cost. You will persevere. Everybody say, I will persevere. Point number two, perseverance during trials and temptation by saints. You must endure it, brethren. You must persevere. You must say, you know what? I'm going to go through this. God will see me through. In Daniel chapter 3, in verse 16, let's go back to our text. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We will not. That will be your answer in Jesus' name. In the face of death, through the burning funny fires, these three Hebrew children, they stood to defend their faith. Even though Nebuchadnezzar heated that fire seven times more, they refused to bow before the idols of Nebuchadnezzar. There was another man in that same book of Daniel. His name is Daniel. And he also had to stand his ground. A law was enacted that nobody should pray to God. Amen? Nobody should pray to the God of heaven. And if you do, the consequence will be that we cast you into the den of lions. Terrible. Frightening. Amen? And that was the challenge that came before Daniel. Will I pray to God? Or will I succumb to fear? I don't want to be eaten by a lion. I don't know about you. It's a terrible death. It's terrible. But will I stand or will I compromise? Look at what Daniel did in Daniel chapter 6, in verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, praise the Lord, immediately they signed that writing to law. Immediately they signed it. He went into his house and his window what? Opened in his chamber. This was a secret prayer. He said, you know what? I'm ready. I don't want to live in fear. I don't want to have to cover my Bible. I don't want to have to, when I go to school like this, in my high school, in my middle school, in my place of work, I don't want to be hiding my Bible. If it's a crime for me to read my Bible in the office, then so be it. Fire me. I want to read my Bible. I have freedom of speech. I have freedom of expression. If it's a crime, then come and fire me. And you take that your Bible to school. You take that your Bible to work. And you open it up. Let people see you. You are not doing it for them. That's what you do anyway. Praise the Lord. You are not doing it to provoke anybody. That's what you do. You know, some of us Christians, even when we go to lunch, it's so hard for us to even pray. Praise the Lord. You are sitting in the lunch, this thing with your table, with your colleague. Amen. Some of us can't even pray. Praise the Lord. We are ashamed. The law hasn't been passed yet, though. Hello? I said the law hasn't been what? Hasn't been passed yet. They have not told us yet in this country that at lunch you cannot pray. They have not told us in this country yet that you cannot take your Bible to work. They have not told us yet, though. So even without that law, some of us can't even do it. You can't pray. You can't say, excuse me, let's pray. Amen? You can't do that. The Lord will help us to be bold with our faith in Jesus' name. This man opened the window. He says, the window being open in his room,
toward Jerusalem. He knelt upon his knees 3 times a day. Praise the Lord. Daniel, are you trying to provoke these people? He says, no, look at it. He says, 3 times a day and prayed and gave tithes before his God. As he did what? That's what I've been doing. Pastor, no. I'm not trying to provoke these people. The reason they even enacted this law, they want to kill me. They know I pray 3 times a day and they want to shut me down. You know what? Those people were watching. Praise the Lord. They see that Daniel reduced his prayer. They say, we're getting him. Praise the Lord. But you say, I'm not going to reduce anything. I will pray. You will pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Come with me. Send me to the lion's den. I'm ready to what? I'm ready to die. That was Daniel. You will be like Daniel in Jesus' name. In Acts chapter 4, verse 18. You know, in our church, we are really crying and pleading and preaching and telling people, go for evangelism, go for evangelism. This is what the Lord asks us to do. Let's preach, let's preach. And then in the time of peace, you can't preach. And that baffles the pastors. That baffles your leaders. In a time of peace, in a time of prosperity, in a time that there's no... I know many of you, you feel, and I keep telling us, that you have freedom of speech in this country. You are not in Saudi Arabia. They have anti-conversion laws there. If you go out to preach, they will cut your leg. Are we there yet in America? And you hear brethren, they say, you don't preach here, oh. You don't preach here, oh. Who told you that? Praise the Lord. Who told you that you can't preach in this country? Oh, this, oh, that. Don't allow anybody to intimidate you. But the point is, if in this time, when there's nobody, there's no cop that will stop you and say, you are preaching, and fine you. And take you to jail. We are not there yet. If at this time of peace you cannot preach, is it in the time of war that you will preach? Acts chapter 4, in verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. We command you, this one is our religious law. You cannot preach. We deal with you. And these rulers and religious leaders, were they joking? If you think they are joking, they will take you to a mount called Calvary. Praise the Lord. They will take you to Gethsemane and say, look at. You see those blood-stained ground? That's what we did to your leader, Jesus Christ. You are not greater than him. We will finish you. We're not joking. We will do what? We'll finish you. We know we have connection with the Roman government. We will just say you people are causing trouble and they will arrest you, crucify. They eventually did it to the disciples. They killed them. They commanded them and said, do not what? Preach. Now look at verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, brethren, you have to answer these people. You cannot be quiet. You cannot be afraid. You cannot cower and say, no, you answer them. He said, they are not rude. They just answered them and said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge. For we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. Simple. Take it or what? We are going to preach. And whatever be the consequences, we are willing to face. And now what Paul the Apostle said in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Brethren, we read all these verses so that when it's time for prayer, you go before God and say, God, I want to have this same power that these people had. This uncompromising stand. And they say, no, we will not compromise. We will not sin against God. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, he said, but none of these things move me. Lions then, none of these things move me. Fiery fire in the furnace, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself,
so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 21, verse 13. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? Why are you pitying me?" Brethren, please let's look up. Sorry. When it comes to persecution and trials, we don't pity. Praise the Lord. Why should we pity you? It's part of the what? It's part of the party. What we do is pray to God that you endure that which you are facing. Amen. You know, let me use this example just to hit what I'm trying to say. There are people with disabilities, right? Those people say, I don't need your pity, right? Yeah, they don't need your pity. Don't see somebody that is disabled and start they don't want that. Amen. Just pray for them to keep on enjoying what they are what? Going through. They've settled it that this is their lot in life. Amen. So they don't need your what? They don't need your pity. It's the same thing in Christianity. When you are going through tough times, it's not to call you and start saying, no. Husband, no. Wife, no. Child, no. Brother, no. Sister, no. I will not pity you. I don't say that in a wrong way. I say that in a way so that you realize that what? You have to endure some things. Amen? You have to endure some trials. You will go through some fire. Amen? And see Paul telling them, don't break my heart. Don't weep. Don't pity me. I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord. What? Okay, let me help us. What does that pity do? It will break that resolve that Paul has. How many of you understand? The Bible says, let those who have wife be as though they have what? None. And why Paul said that was because of the present what? Persecution that was going on there. Praise the Lord. Hello? Yes. Let him that have a wife be as though he have what? None. In fact, Paul was also telling them, because of this present situation, it's better you don't marry. Why was Paul talking like that? He was talking like that because the times in which they were living, you didn't have the assurance that you were going to see the next day because of the present what? Persecution. And he knows that if you go and marry, you begin to have children, it's going to be heartbreak. By the time that husband dies, by the time that wife dies, you know, many of you have read church history, you know what they did. Go and read Fox's Book of Martyr. I have a copy if you want it, I can lend you. Amen. Go and read church history. How they will take these same lions there, they will take them inside. The believers will lock their shoulder, their elbows together like this. Amen. And they will march into what? The lion. And what will the lion do? Finish them. They died. Amen. And at that time, what those believers need is not your pity. They had already resolved in their mind that this is our what? Our lot. And they faced it. You will face it in Jesus' name. I say you will face it in Jesus' name. I think we need more militant Christians. Amen? Praise the Lord. You will be militant in Jesus' name. I don't say go into trouble, harm's way and all that, but just understand that there is some militancy in Christianity. There is endurance. The Bible says we should endure hardness as a true soldier of what? Of Christ. Praise the Lord. Those passages, they apply to you. Amen? Young people, you have to stand. You know, young people listening, amen. I know there are few and you're like this pastor said. Eh? Praise the Lord. Even if it's one young person, I like to minister to them. Praise the Lord. You know, when I was young, much younger, I was in what we call primary school. Praise the Lord. I don't know the equivalent here. Maybe grade 2 or something like that. Amen. There was this bully who was always beating me up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. He just wasn't bullied. And so I went to my mom because I was raised as a pacifist.
Praise the Lord.
I was raised, don't fight.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. So I was like, yeah, I've been told at home not to fight. So I went to my mom at the point that I said, this boy is bullying me.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
And my mom said, look at the children of Israel.
Praise the Lord.
They fought.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. You have to what? Stand your word. And I went back to school and I did what? Stood my ground. This is not born again now. Amen. The boy kicked me and I kicked him back.
Praise the Lord.
I had to, and that was the end of that. When he saw that I was what? Standing my ground. He said, no, this boy has changed though.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, I had to learn a lesson that you what? Stand. And you will stand as a child of God in Jesus' name. You will not just cower before those your peers. As though you are spineless. No, you stand your ground and say no. I said no yesterday. I say no today. And that will be your portion in Jesus' name. This all emerged victorious over all confrontations. Perseverance, therefore, is the secret of victory during trials and persecution. In Romans chapter 12, verse 12, before we pray. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Romans 12, 12, he says, rejoicing in hope, patient in what? Tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. You are patient, brethren. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, look at what the word of God tells us. Lest you become afraid. You know, some of us were afraid of our new converts. They are going through so much persecution. They will backslide. They will go back to the world. Don't worry. God will keep them. I said, don't worry, God will keep them. In Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, I read from verse 35. It tells us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. Point number 3, promotion and triumph of uncompromising saints. The Lord will promote us in Jesus' name. In Daniel chapter 3, let's finish up our story before we pray. In Daniel chapter 3, those three Hebrew boys, young men, they said no. Despite the second chance that Nebuchadnezzar gave them to compromise, they said no. And look at what he says in verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. When you say no, they will be angry. Praise the Lord. When you say no, there will be what? They will be angry. They will be angry. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and what? You know, if you are a Christian here and you can't stand the frown of people, you can't stand people looking down at you, looking at you from the corner of their eyes. They make their face in a certain way. And you can't stand that. Please, you need to graduate. The Bible tells us that Nebuchadnezzar's face, his visage was changed. His eyes were red. I'm ready to deal with you people. Amen? And he tells us, therefore he spake and commanded that they should hit the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. I need to tell us something at this point. Praise the Lord. Okay. There's something about the devil. There's something about wicked men and women. There's something about wicked tyrants. They employ what we call torture. They don't really want to kill you. I'll be a little bit graphic. They don't really want to kill you. They want to break you. That's what torture does. How many of you know that? Torture is meant to break the man. And that's all Satan is looking for. He wants to break you as a Christian. He doesn't really want to kill you, so to speak. If Satan kills you, where are you going to? Straight. Does it benefit Satan when you die and go to hell and heaven? It doesn't benefit him. It benefits Satan when you die and go to hellfire. But when you die and go to heaven, it doesn't benefit him. If you've not read the book, The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, I want you to read that book. It's a good reading. At the end of the book, the young man that the demons were trying to tempt, at the end of the book, guess what? He died. And they were so mad. Why? Because he went straight to heaven. What is... There's no good. There's no good. A dead saint is not good for the devil. Amen? So they were mad at the end. I'm telling you the end of the book. Sorry. Praise the Lord. And so torture is meant to do what? Break the person. And so Nebuchadnezzar could have. Immediately they brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar would have just taken and told his soldiers, fall upon them, like the Old Testament says, amen? Kill them. Amen? Could Nebuchadnezzar have done that? But he made it slow and excruciating. Amen? He gave them a second chance. He says, no, this can't be happening. I will break these people. Do you mean these people will defy me? No. No. Look at my subjects, my fellow soldiers. They are looking at me. I cannot allow these three Hebrew children to defy my order. It is going to humble me. It's going to disgrace me. No, I'll make this thing slow. He says, you know what? Go and hit that fire. What? Seven times. I want them to say, oh, seven times, Nebuchadnezzar. We bow down. Amen? That's what he was looking for. Did he get it, brethren? Look at it. It says in verse 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hose, and their hats, and their garments, and were cast in the midst of the fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men and took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. You will surprise your persecutors in Jesus' name. And he rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. Praise the Lord. You know, I told us in the beginning that one, you know, you are all alone. You are standing alone. And it's like, where is Jesus Christ? He is there. I say he is there. He has always been there. And he will give you that power to stand your ground in Jesus' name. He saw four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they had no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God.
Amen.
Brethren, you want to win souls? Look at me. You want to win souls. Praise the Lord. You want people to be born again. God, make me another Paul. God, make me another Elijah. You don't know what you're asking for. And if a preacher said something, you know, he had a surgery, knee replacement. Amen? So they had to work on it. He's getting old. And so right there, on the bed in the hospital, amen, he came across the doctor, and through conversation and everything, the doctor became born again. You know what that preacher said? He said, God, you would have just sent me straight to this doctor and have me preach to him. Why did he have to take my surgery? Praise the Lord. For me to win this. Oh, God's ways are not our what? Are not our ways. Who wants to go through that suffering? Let me tell you a story. Youths are hearing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let you see what? Yeah, you. Praise the Lord. You know, one day, I was on my way to, I was hurrying up to work, and I took my shoe, and I put it on quickly. Amen? And as I put on my shoe,
All of a sudden, I started feeling a sensation on my leg, amen, on my feet, amen. And I felt the sensation, I thought it was my lace, amen. I thought it was my shoelace. And then this sensation was too much. I said, what is on my leg? I have to rush to work, amen. And so I pulled out my shoe, I did like this, and the snake fell down. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And of course, I killed the snake. But later on my way to work, I said, God, all this you will tread upon serpent and scorpion. Please, amen. Praise the Lord. I don't like this practical. Amen. It's too practical. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's too what? It's too practical. Please don't use my life, so to speak, as a fulfillment of that. I will tread upon serpent and scorpion. This one is scary. Amen. That's the scripture, brethren. That is what the scripture. You want to win souls? You want those your friends to be saved? It may have to go through the very furnace of persecution. You know, sometimes our sisters, we come to the pastors and say, my husband is what? Persecuting me. And we all gather and we're praying, oh God, let this man not persecute this woman. But you don't know that it's that same persecution that God will use to what? Save that what? That man. Why? Because despite the persecution that man is giving that woman, she did not break. Hello, is somebody learning something? Despite that persecution that man was giving that woman, she did not what? She did not break. She kept on loving him. Like it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, with their good what? Conversation. The husband insulted the woman. What did the woman do back? She what? She blessed him. See, what kind of woman is this? Amen? The husband is that husband that our pastor describes. Amen? That just sits down and is a bum. Amen? And all he does is watch TV, and when that woman comes back from 14-hour shift, he expects that woman to still what? Cook. And that woman, born again, child of God, doesn't say, you man, you're a bum. Get into that kitchen. Praise the Lord. Hello? And insult the man. No. The woman, I'm not saying what the man is doing is good, but the woman still, because of God. The woman is also dealing with the wife, or the woman is dealing with the husband by what? Grace and mercy. And says, you know what? This bomb will change. I will still cook his food. And that man says, you know what? I will treat this woman. I do bad things. I beat her. I flog her. Pastor knows stories. And yet, she will not break. You know what? What she has is real. I will give my life to Christ. That's how it happens. And Nebuchadnezzar now is recognizing God. He said, at first, he said, who is that what? God. And now look at what he's saying. He says what? He says, servants of the Most High God. The Most High what? He's already praising God. Come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the king counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angels and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word. In this country we will change the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of what? That position they had, that they were not protective of, God gave them a higher position. It is good to trust in God. Amen. You will trust in God in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 5, as we round off now, Matthew chapter 5, I want us to pray.
Matthew chapter 5, it says in verse 10, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed, you are blessed. Blessed are ye when men shall abuse you, insult you, revile you, and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For what? Great is your reward in what? In heaven. So persecuted they the prophets which were before you. In Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to ask for that power right now. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Isaiah 40, 28. Has thou not known? Has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not? There is neither weary, there is no searching of his understanding. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. You are faint, there the Lord will give you power. And to them that have no might, he does what? Increase their strength. You want to pray and tell the Lord that as I go into 2017, Lord, I will stand. I will have an uncompromising stand in Jesus' name. In the face of persecution, in the face of my boss, in the face of my colleagues, in the face of my peers. Oh yes, Lord, empower me. Verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, we are going to do that this evening, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they will know what? Why don't you rise up on your feet and tell the Lord, empower me. Empower me and give me the grace to have an uncompromising stand. Help me that I will stand in the midst. Oh Lord, in the face of persecution, in the midst of trials and tribulations, give me the grace, give me the power that I will stand. Go before the Lord in prayer. Help me to stand alone. Help me to stand alone. Father, help me to stand. Give me the power to stand. Go before the Lord in prayer. The Bible says he give a power. He give a power to the faint. Tell the Lord, oh God, empower me. Give me the power to stand in that place of work. Give me the power to stand in the midst of my peers at school, at home, at the office, in my neighborhood. Help me to stand. The Lord will give us that grace, brethren. The power is available.